The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. St. Augustine of Hippo, 430 CE, inventor of the self, father of Western civilization, theological companion, or better, theological wrestling partner. I understand that in the spring semester, Tony, Scott, Jane, and some of our advanced students tackled and subdued the city of God. In the past few days, I've been reflecting on my own travels with Augustine, from college to graduate school to teaching in graduate school, and I found the Henry Chadwick translation of the Confessions, with the turned over corners and the lines about memory, passion, love, loss, and death underlined with a blue fountain pen. I have been recalling all the teachers who interpreted Augustine to me at Williams College, the religion professors, Binks Little and Mark Taylor at Harvard, Richard Niebuhr, and Margaret Miles. And I got wrapped up in Margaret Miles' memoir called Augustine and the Fundamentalist's Daughter. Isn't that wonderful? Which tells her intellectual and emotional story as engagement with Augustine's Confessions from her 20s through to her 70s. The Confessions has resonated with me from my first reading. It's passion, the direct address to God, the prose woven with quotations, allusions to scripture, many of which I would never have recognized at first, but that the Penguin edition kindly cited for me. But after many years, I hope I recognize them now without the notes. Of all the contributions of Augustine to our theological tradition, there's one that I want to hold up and celebrate today on this second week of classes, when homework is building up and the schedule is underway, assignments are multiplying, and as I understand, there have already been some meltdowns. And that is, from Augustine, the life-transforming capacity of reading. For reading, Augustine expected reading to be a powerful, life-changing experience. And he gives his account of his own life-altering moments of reading. Reading Cicero when he was 16, quote, "It was this book which altered my way of feeling, turned my prayers to you, Lord, yourself, and gave me different ambitions and desires. What moved me was not the style, but the matter. I was on fire then, my God. I was on fire to leave earthly things behind and fly back to you. And he tells about the conversion of his colleague, Ponticianus, who read the life of St. Anthony, and he was converted. In his reading of St. Anthony, he had a direct conversation with the text, in which he allowed the text to evaluate and judge his life and point his way to a new one. To describe the intensity of reading, Augustine uses the metaphor of birth. He turned back to the book, troubled and perplexed by the new life to which he was giving birth. So he read on, and his heart, where you saw it, was changed. And as soon appeared, his mind shook off the burden of the world. While he was reading, and the waves of his heart rose and fell, there were times when he cried out against himself. And then he distinguished the better course and chose it for himself. At the moment of his own conversion, Augustine heard the words, "Take, read." You know the story. He picked up the book where it was open, the book of the apostle, and found these words of Paul in Romans. "Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." He devoured Paul greedily. He read the Psalms and poured out his heart to God. "My God, how I cried aloud to you in these Psalms, how they fired me toward you, how I burned to utter them aloud. I trembled with fear, and I was on fire with hope and excitement." And then in the Confessions, nourished by reading, Augustine wrote, more hard labor of birthing the story of his life, his memoir, the Confession, so that his writing might provoke others to read and point the way to truth, truth that alters lives. Now, there have been jokes about the reading assigned in classes at the seminary. The last gathering advice to a new student, quote, "It's only a lot of reading if you do it." But Augustine's life and work reminds us that in the Christian tradition we share, reading is a practice that can lead to conversion, that can literally birth new life. Seminary formation is in part enforced, intentional reading, deep reading. Reading in community, full-bodied reading, all that burning, and all those waves, full-bodied reading. Reading with respect, reading with charity, and reading with focused attention. Very different kind of reading than what passes for reading, distracted, glancing at headlines and photos, the reading we call clicking. And then we write. Write in response to reading, to tell a story, to reflect, to see our story in light of the story of God. Laboring to convey your thoughts, express yourself, put insight and experience into form. Go to the Center for Writing and Creative Expression and practice this spiritual discipline. Here at Theological Seminary, reading is a practice that is entered into and sustained in trust that words participate in, take part in, the Word that was made flesh and which dwelled among us. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, so that you may come to believe that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Reading for the sake of life, for new birth. On this feast of St. Augustine, let us hear the words of God to him. Take, read, and hear in those words the offer of refreshment, nourishment, and new life. Take, eat. This is my body that is given for you. This day, I give thanks for all the books with the turned down corners and the highlighting and the underlining, the books that you understood one way the first time you read them, but that gain new and new layers of meaning as your life goes from its 20s to its 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And give thanks for the living teachers, those in the past, those in the present, and our ongoing relationship with them. Give thanks for St. Augustine. Take, read. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.